We're going to continue studying, and I mentioned this a couple weeks back, that I was going to take a Sunday and teach on this subject, the rewards of seeking God's face, the rewards of seeking God's face. I got a kind note from your daughter, Julie, and Julie sent me a card. Julie's been having some difficulties and health problems that's been keeping her out of church a little bit, and her mother said, I wish you'd go online on our website and listen to Pastor Jerry's series on seeking God's face. She wrote me the kindest note and just told me in the note how that listening to that has just been life-changing and has helped her tremendously. She said, I needed that, to hear that right now in my spiritual life. I needed to hear that. And I hope that it's ministered to your hearts. Folks, I think that if we just cut to the, you know, if you go to the very foundation of what this whole thing is about, our Christian life, the whole thing is about a relationship between us and God. That's it. That's the foundation. Everything flows from that. And yes? It's too short. Mrs. Vesta, if you see me and her kidding around a lot, I didn't say anything publicly about this, but time constraints works on me all the time. And sometimes, so I took my daily broadcast that used to be 10 minutes, and I cut it down to 5 minutes because I could get them done so much quicker. And, of course, nobody noticed except Mrs. Vesta. And I've been hearing about it ever since I've cut it back. So I told her the other day, I said, well, she's like, she keeps wanting me to double the size of it. And I said, well, I'm going to start cutting my sermons in half. She said, you better not. Probably the only church member that would say that to me. The only one that likes the length of my messages. But I hope this has been a help to you. Folks, listen, you can get a lot of things right and have one thing really wrong, and everything's pretty much wrong. Did you hear what I said? If we're not careful, we're going through the... Then didn't Brother Hamlin just do a wonderful job Wednesday night? If you didn't make it to that service, get that tape, order that tape or CD or whatever they give you now, and listen to it. Honestly, listen to it. Boy, just get down to the foundation. Here's the question for this morning. And pastors sometimes just stop and ask you things that are very personal, and I don't expect an answer. I want you to answer it for your own heart. But how is your relationship with God? How rich is it? How deep is it? How meaningful is it? I don't say a lot about them. As a general rule, I'm not a real big fan of the what I call the dumb sayings that they put on church signs. But I did drive through Jasonville and I was struck by the one in front of Assembly of God that says, I missed our time together, God. And I thought, I wonder how many times God just says, I wish one of my children, I wish so-and-so would just stop their busy life and talk to me. Just spend some time seeking my face. Just wanting to be in my presence. Not because there's an emergency, not because... They come because they're asking something, just because they want to be with me. Grandmas, grandpas, isn't it good just to see the grandkids for no reason? I mean, not because, hey, Grandma, I know I haven't talked to you in 6 months, but I need this. But just because they want to. You don't think we are made in the image of God? And I think in that area, God has shared that with us. And we have a sense of that, so we can relate to that. But I think that God just likes spending time with His children. Just wants to spend time with us. And, you know, it's interesting. Let me balance this out. But I really do believe this. We practice this philosophy in the school. You know, sometimes I hear somebody say, you know, well, I don't believe in the reward system. I don't believe in rewarding. Now, it's amazing. We believe in punishing for doing wrong, but we don't believe in rewarding for doing right. Well, you don't reward people for what they're supposed to do anyway. Well, that may be your philosophy, but let me say this. That's not God's philosophy. It's not God's philosophy. You know what? You're going to be hard-pressed to go to the Bible and find a commandment that is not also linked to a blessing? Isn't that good? Can I say something to help you parents? You know what? Stop just cracking on them when they do wrong. Start rewarding them when they do right. If we spend as much time enforcing with positives as we do interjecting negatives, they probably would be more prone to do the positive things. And God does. You can call it bribes. You know, oh, I don't believe in giving these bus kids something to go to church. Well, do you want God to adopt your philosophy? Demanding obedience without blessings. Never rewarding you for doing right. I don't want that, brother. I'm going to call it selfish, call it whatever, but one of the things that motivates me to want to do the right things is that there's a bunch of promises attached to that. And I know this. There's a difference in my life when I'm in right relationship with God. I experience things. I get things. And I'm not just talking about materialistic things. There's a lot of things that come into your life. There's a contentment. There's a peace. There's a sense of well-being that just comes with having the right relationship with the Lord. And so we want to talk about that. Rewards. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse number 13. I love this. It says, and let me give you this, because to me this is the prize of all prizes, and this is what I'm going to start with here. Well, Jerry, what's the greatest reward of seeking God's face, of seeking the Lord? The greatest reward of seeking the Lord is that through seeking you'll find Him. He is the greatest reward. Isn't that neat? Proverbs chapter 29, verse 13, and ye shall seek me, notice this, and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And here we talked about adoration, seeking God with our heart, meditation, seeking God with our mind, meditating upon Him, adoring Him. And he said, you know what, here's the reward, me. God says, I'm the reward. Now, you know what's neat about seeking the Lord? I love that. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall. And if you seek God, I mean, if you seek God's face, you know what? You're going to get to know God on a level that you've never got to know Him before. And there's just something about the presence of God. What's so fascinating about getting the Bible out every morning and say, God, I want to know truth. And I want to learn truth. Give me something that'll challenge me and help me. But I want to know you. Teach me you. Is that God oftentimes at different times will take that devotional time that you have and He'll open to your heart and your mind a part of Him that maybe you've never seen before. And He reveals maybe just a little bit more of His face to you. You understand God in a little bit different way. You sense and get His character. You understand that in a deeper way. Listen, the reward of all rewards of seeking the Lord is finding Him. God is a God that wants to reveal Himself to His children. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 4. And like I said, we'll try to wake up in Sunday school enough to turn pages. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29. And chapter 4, and look at verse number 29, Deuteronomy. It says, but if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, here's the reward, thou shalt find Him. If thou seek Him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. And it's something we haven't touched on yet, but we're going to get to it, I think. Seeking God with your soul. We seek Him with our mind, we seek Him with our heart, but seeking Him with our soul. I'm not going to develop that now, but think about that. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, here's the promise, thou shalt find Him. But notice this, in both of these verses, the reward does not come through casual effort. Amen? Amen? God doesn't promise that you'll find Him through casual effort. It's got to be a commitment, a heart commitment, a soul commitment, a complete commitment. I want to know God, to get hungry to know God. Psalm chapter number 8, let's go to the 8th Psalm. And we'll look at another verse that reinforces this. And then we'll list some more rewards this morning. Psalm chapter number 8, if you will. Well, it's one of those times when I think I wrote down the wrong something. Let's see here. I'm not going to be able to find it. I apologize for that. Let's go to the next one. The rewards for finding the Lord is number one, of seeking the Lord is number one, you'll find Him. Number two, let's go to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. Now again, God kind of puts some carrots out there. He puts a carrot out in front of us so that we'll head towards the carrot. He's got some incentives, an incentive program. It says in 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse number 10, notice this. It says, "Glory ye in His holy name, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord." Notice verse number 11. "Seek the Lord and His strength, seek His face continually." Now the first thing I want to point out to you, and you might want to mark this because we're going to come back and look at that. I want you to remember that I'm going to go ahead and give you number three. The rewards are number one, if you seek the Lord, you'll find Him. Number two, there is rejoicing that comes in the presence of God. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Now let me develop that because I want to reinforce that. Let's go to the 22nd Psalm. And as you do so, cross your fingers that your preacher wrote down the right verse here, all right? Psalm 22 and verse number 26. Psalm 22 and verse number 26. It says, "The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek Him. Your heart shall live forever." Now, here's something fascinating. And again, in Psalm 105, verse 13, there's a very similar verse to this. But let me just give you this. If you spend time every week seeking the Lord, you know what you're going to find out? It changes your level of happiness. You tend to be a rejoicing, praising person. You know why? Because there's something about being in the presence of God that just gives you a different perspective in life. It really does. You know, have you been there? Have you been in those dark times where honestly you looked around and all you can see is negatives and all you can see is bad and you are in this pit? And then you say, "I've got to get to God." And so you begin to realize there's only one place I can look from the bottom of this pit, and that's up. So I don't know the answers. I've tried to find the answers, and I can't find the answers. I've tried to find some light, and I can't find light. I'm trying to find some direction, and I can't find direction. I'm going to forget all that. I'm just going to see if I can find God. And so you change your efforts, and you begin to pursue God, and you just get before His face. And sometimes you stay there, and sometimes you weep there. But it's amazing that not one circumstance has changed. But all of a sudden, you get up from that time. I mean, no windows of heaven open. No miracle happened. You got the same problems you had before you sought Him. But all of a sudden, you get up and you have rejoicing. It doesn't make a bit of sense. It doesn't make a bit of sense. You know, but there's, you know what the difference was? You just got in His presence. Let me help you with some things. And you know, there's things I carry that you don't carry. There's things you carry that I don't carry. But there's times when the burden of the ministry, and I hate to use that word, because most of the ministry is blessing. Let me just say that again. Most of the ministry is blessing. But with blessings comes burdens. Amen? In your life and mine too. Sometimes when the burdens of the ministry almost get overwhelming and I can't get answers, I've learned to stop seeking answers and start seeking Him. And you know what the craziest thing? When I find Him, I usually find the answers. Amen. Amen. Write that one down. Put that in the back of your mind. I mean, you're going to come to times, you're going to come to places. This week, I was wrestling and struggled with something, and I just didn't have an answer for something. And I finally just had to go to the Lord, and I just had to say, "Lord, this is one of those things I'm just going to have to give to You. because I don't know. And you know what? All of a sudden, by the way, that situation's not resolved. The need is still there. But you know what? Where it, before it was pushing me down, now it's become weightless. It's there still. But all I know is getting in His presence, seeking His face, getting to a place of peace with Him on where it's at, where I'm at, and what I need, just has lightened the load. And I think before, I was walking around with a furrowed brow. And other people were praising, and I was thinking, how do they dare praise? Don't they understand the problems? And then once you get to know God, I think God says, how dare you worry over the problems? Don't you know me? Don't you know me? You know, let me help you young couples. Oh, Brother Jerry, we're just struggling trying to make it. I don't have an answer for this week, next week, next. Let me tell you something. God has all the answers. God's already figured everything out. God knows how it's going to happen. Just develop a close relationship with Him. And from that close relationship, you will see miracles. You will see miracles. I had God specifically, I may share this with you tonight, answer a specific prayer request that I began to pray 2 weeks ago. And really miraculous, really neat. And just, you know what's why your preacher tells you to pray for specific things? Because specific answers always brings rejoicing and praise. It will reinforce your faith to go to the Lord and say, Lord, I feel impressed by You to pray about this specific thing. And then to watch God do that is just, oh my goodness sakes. So, when that happened, the next burden in line, I look at and say, well, He took care of the last one. And He took care of the one before that. He took care of the one before that. You know, and we've got a pattern developing here. I mean, God's got a good track record. But this next one, all of a sudden, we start saying, yeah, but this one, I don't know. Well, He does. And you know, sometimes He may not get you the answer that you think you want, or it may not come from the direction you thought it would come from. I like it when God just surprises me. And I'll think, wow, I didn't see that. That's neat. I wish I'd have thought of that. And God says, well, you're not me. Amen. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. You know, without Him, we're sure not much. Now, let me help some of you. I mean this. I mean this. Sometimes probably I use the wrong approach on this. But it burdens your pastor to see burdened church members. It does. I understand real life. I understand real problems. But I don't understand a lifestyle of negativity. I don't understand a lifestyle of poor me. You know what? I'm sorry for your problems, but I'm not. The problems are not your problem. Let me say it again. Your problems are not your problem. Those problems come from God. They're allowed of God to teach you how to react to problems. Happiest people, honestly, amazes me, absolutely amazes me. Happiest Christians all times are the ones that have the least reason to be happy from a worldly standpoint. You can walk around in victory even when you're surrounded by problems and challenges, and you know, you can still walk around with God. That's the key. Do you have Him? Is He involved in it? Is He involved in it? Bless your heart, some of you are trying to work out everything on your own, and you will not get to God. And you're not going to work it out. You may put a Band-Aid on it, but you're not going to work it out. God has the answer. Let me encourage all of you young people, and tonight, well, we're going to have a good service tonight. We're going to get a meet with our college students. Aren't you glad it's not you, Brother Derek, that we're meeting with? Amen. 6:15 tonight, I want to meet with all the kids going back to Bible college. You don't want to go back? You sure? You sure? All right, okay, all right. Me neither. I don't mind sending Bible college students, but I'm not going with them. Amen. I've done that. You want to go, Brother Rice? You want to go? No. Amen. No, that was great, but no. But if I can just get them all to get this, you know what? You're gonna be, God's gonna throw things at you. God's gonna purpose see that you face things. Young, listen, it's not just Bible college students. Young couples, God's gonna keep putting stuff. He's trying to teach you something, and the more you try to work it out on your own, it's just gonna compound it. You just need to get before God. Are you listening to me? God, we spend all of our time seeking for the answer to our problems when we fail to understand that if we sought God, He is the answer to our problems. Let problems drive you to God. Let challenges drive you to God. Let burdens drive you to God. Because when you spend time in His presence, you're going to eventually get the answer, and even before the answer comes, you're going to be infected by a spirit of optimism, because when you get near God and you understand God and you seek His face, you understand nothing's impossible with Him. The biggest problem I've ever faced in my life, God could reach down with one finger and solve. With one whisper, it can be solved. And if He chooses not to do that, He's trying to teach me something for a while. And so let's get back to rejoicing. Rejoicing. Let's look in, let's see here. I think that's 1 Chronicles 16:11. Is that where I had you before? Okay, if you saved that, go back there. This goes along with what I just said. But one of the rewards of the Lord, seeking God's face, number one, to find Him, number two, the rejoicing. Oh, spend time in the presence of God, folks. Remember when we studied about Moses coming off the mountain and the effect that it had on his countenance? That's one of the neatest stories in the Bible. Oh, Brother Jerry, that's Old Testament miracle type stuff. No, it's not. It's real. It's still today. Don't tell me that the countenance, you cannot tell by the countenance of a person, the countenance of a Christian, whether they've been in the presence of God or not. Now, there may not be a physical shining, but there's a difference. You know why I have to spend time in the presence? You know why I need to spend time in the presence of God? It's not just for my sake. It's so that you don't have to look at a sourpuss preacher every Sunday. You know, amen. Yes. I mean, can you imagine? Have you ever been in those churches? Guy drags in, he's mad as soon as he shows up, gets up and grumbles through a message and barks at everybody. And, you know, now I've had those days. And some of you are saying, I remember that sermon. But but for the most part, can I take that and put it in your life? Your kids don't need a mama that's living on the downside all the time. I mean, daddies, your kids shouldn't be watching the clock, counting the minutes to when you go home so they can go hide under the bed. Are you listening? And could I just say this? You ain't much fun to the rest of us either. You can spend your life. Well, I'll tell you what, as soon as God takes away every one of my burdens and provides all my needs and wants, then I'll put a smile on my face. Well, all right, how's it gone so far? God didn't expect you to be happy just when things are perfect. God expects you to be happy when things are less than perfect. If you'll do that, spending time in His presence. Now, verse 11, seek the Lord in His strength. Seek the Lord in His strength. Now, folks, this is one of those byproducts that comes with seeking the Lord. And I think I've communicated this to a certain extent, so I'm just not going to keep going on about it. But there is a strength that comes just from being in the presence of God. I believe there's a physical strength. I believe there's a spiritual strength. I spent a week here. I don't know if they run the broadcast yet or not, because I'm ahead a little bit. But read the book of Proverbs and see how many times God and seeking God and being right with God and being in the presence of God is connected with good physical health. That doesn't mean that everybody's sick. That's their problem. I'm just saying you feel better physically. You get physical strength. There were times in Bible college, especially my last couple years when I was working a lot of hours and trying to finish up college, where I would go to my dormitory room and I was already on my, I was done. And I looked at my schedule and realized that I had 4 hours to sleep and then I was going to be up for another long stretch. And I have gotten on my knees and said, God, I want to spend some time in your presence and I need something from you. And God, all I can ask is this. I'm only going to be able to get 4 hours sleep, but Lord, I pray that it be heaven-blessed sleep. And Lord, I pray that you give me the strength in my body that I need after this 4 hours to do what I need to do next. And I have woken up from 4 hours sleep feeling like I've had 8, 9, 10 hours sleep. And knowing the strength of that, the strength of that God-blessed rest. Now, it may not be a schedule that's your problem. It may be something else. It may be not physical strength. It may be emotional strength. It may be spiritual strength. But it's there. Where do you get that, Brother Jerry? You get that in the presence of God. You get that in the presence of God. Things are going to happen in your life. And you know what you're going to say? There's no way in the world after this happened that I could walk out that door and face anybody to face the world. And you know what you're going to find, if you will? Strength in God's presence. You know this whole thing about, oh, Pastor, you don't understand, you don't understand. Well, I may not. But don't follow up that statement with, you just don't understand, I can't. Don't you give me I can't. Don't you give me I can't. If it's the right thing, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You absolutely can. Well, where do I get the strength to do that? You don't get it from talking to me. You're going to get it by talking to God. You're going to get it in His presence. Listen, folks, there's no shortcut on some of this stuff. People can encourage you. People can bless you. People can discourage you. But God's always there. And I'm going to tell you, I proved it out. I've seen it in my life over and over. If it's the right thing to do and I'm supposed to do it, I don't care if I think I have the physical strength to do it. With God's strength, I can do it. I don't know if I have the emotional strength to do it. With God's strength, I can do it. You can stand up and do what you need to do through God's strength. But you're not going to do it if you're not seeking His face. You're not going to have that strength if you don't seek His face. So here's the encouragement I hope that's come through the last several weeks. There's going to be a change in you if you get this. Yeah. Brother Jerry, were you shocked when you got that note? No. You know why? Because everything I taught in those courses will help that girl spiritually if she'll listen to it. And by the way, it'll help us too. I don't know where you're at, but the answer's in the presence of the Lord. It's in the presence of God. Let me give you something else here. 2 Chronicles, we're back there. This is kind of where we kicked off, so let's go back to chapter 7, 2 Chronicles 7. I'm going to have to hurry. 2 Chronicles 7:14. And again, we've covered this somewhat in depth. Just write down this if you're taking notes. Cleansing. What's the rewards of getting in the presence of God? Cleansing. What's the rewards? Well, you find Him. He's the reward. Rejoicing. He allows you to tap into His strength. And then cleansing. And here's the verse. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, that's number one, and pray, that's number two, and seek my face, that's number three, and turn from their wicked ways, that's number four. That's the if. Here's the then. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And one of the things about seeking God's face is it allows you then the opportunity to go to step four. You can't do 1, 2, 4. 1, 2, 4 doesn't work. 1, 2, 3, 4 works. You can pray. You can humble yourself. You can pray. But you're probably not going to turn from your wicked ways until you seek His face. There's a wonderful revealing that happens in the presence of God. Let me give you this. If you think you're a pretty good Christian, go spend some time in His presence. No, I mean some of you that are just overtaken by your own spirituality. You're just impressed with your own righteousness. You know, you're here and the rest of the church is here, and boy, if only they were as good a Christian as you are, my goodness sake. And by the way, it's a privilege to be in your presence. At times, I just try to touch the hem of your garments so that some of that virtue can come on me. You ever been around people like that? Don't they make you want to gag? Sorry, I'm just being truthful. But you know what that tells me about that person? They haven't spent much time in the presence of God. And you know, folks, guys don't always think that clothes are dirty when they are. I mean, you got to define dirty, you know. To us, dirty is when you take off a garment, set it up, and it stands up on its own. That's dirty. Every guy in here knows what I'm talking about, but you've taken a shirt that you've worn before and you went, just to try to gauge how stinky it is and whether or not you should put it on one more time, you know. You know, you got a shirt, and let me just say this. If you dress in the dark, everything you put on looks good. So you get up a little bit before the wife, you decide you're going to dress before you don't turn on the light. You know what? You're going to in the very dim light that comes through the shades, you're going to look in the mirror and, yeah, that looks good. And then you're going to walk out later on the bright sunlight and somebody's going to look at you and go, ew. And that's what we do. You know, nothing seems very dirty in the dark. It just doesn't. You know, but the closer you get to God, the closer you get to the light. And folks, there's a great revealing. And I think sometimes, folks, I don't know, I can't judge. A lot of times I speak from personal experience and I project that. Maybe I'm the only one, I don't know. But I think sometimes our hesitation of seeking God's face is we don't really want that light shining on some areas of our life. And Brother Jerry, this is encouraging. Man, if I go to seek God, I'm going to find Him. I'm going to have rejoicing. I'll be able to access strength. I'll be able to get, you'll be able to get cleansing, which means that in that procedure, God's going to reveal things in your life that maybe you just haven't seen before. He's going to point out some things that needs cleaned up. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves, pray, and as we're praying, we go past the praying, past just the asking, past what I call drive-by prayer. You know, like drive-by shootings. Just near God close enough. Get near God close enough to hurl a few things we want and then run away from His. I'm talking about stay there. After you get done asking, stay there. Say, okay, God, I'm done asking. Now I just want to seek You. I just want to know You. And in that process, sometimes you get the answers of why you're not getting the answers. Are you getting this? See, we just want to do this little quick thing, throw it up, and then hurl accusations at God of why He doesn't answer our prayers. If we would not just pray, if we would stay and seek His face, we could get some answers sometimes of why we're not getting the answers. I've been there. Have you ever gone to... And see, here's what God does sometimes. He says, I'll tell you what, I'm gonna trade requests. We've got a prayer request. God's, you know, prayer means asking. We got an asking request. And God says, okay, you brought me yours. I got one for you. You want some things from me. Maybe I want some things from you. Well, Lord, I don't want to discuss that. I just want to give You this list and go on about my way. God said, no. Let's just stay here. Let's work things out. You know, and man, that's exciting. Folks, listen, that's not a bad thing. You know, if there's something inside of you that's kind of going right now, that's not a bad thing. That's how we become more godly. That's how we are more, how we are transformed into the image of Christ. That's how we gain in our Christian life. You know, the Lord's not being mean when He points out a fault. And let me just share this with you. Depending on how you were raised, some of you are very hypersensitive to criticism because you were criticized a lot. And sometimes we look at conviction as if it's God's criticism. It's not. God doesn't point out something for the purpose of putting us down. God points out something in our lives to give us an opportunity for Him to lift us up. And so, you know, get that. You know, there's Christians that hear God's Word preached, and through the preaching of God's Word, there's something highlighted that's wrong in our lives, and then we are mad at the preacher for preaching it. And the purpose of the heart of a preacher ought to be the same as the heart of God on this. It's not a matter of pointing something out to put you down. It's an opportunity for you to recognize something that's going to elevate you in your spiritual life. And so the mature Christian's thankful for those times, thankful for those opportunities, and rejoices in that. Now, quickly, I've just got a little bit of time left. Let me hit this one. We are in 2 Chronicles chapter 30. Let's go to chapter 31 of 2 Chronicles. And I'm going to give you two more references because I want to give you all six of them. So just, if you think notes, number five is prosperity. 2 Chronicles 31:21 says this, and in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, that's 2 Chronicles 31:21, and in every work that he began in the service of the house of God and in the law and in the commandments to seek his God, he did it with all his heart. You ought to underline those next two words, and prospered. Remember again, we're so infected with materialism, you can't say the word prosperity in this generation without people thinking, ching-ching, new car, better car, bigger house. Folks, those aren't necessarily things that cause you to prosper. There's people that have all of those things and they have not prospered in God's sight. Prosperity means God's blessing. Those come in so many different ways. Ezra 8:22 teaches the same thing. Psalm 34:10, prosperity. God likes to spoil kids who like spending time with Him. You mark that down. I promise you it's true. God likes spoiling kids that like to spend time with Him. Amen. Amen. That's true. Again, let me have you go to Proverbs 28:5 and we'll be done then. Proverbs 28:5. I want to develop that, but I also want to get this last one in, and then I'll let you take these things, and I know God can, if you'll take the time to meditate on them and go over them, God will give you some insight. Proverbs 28:25. No, that's not it. When is it? Verse 5. Thank you. Y'all have learned my patterns. Some of you figured out that if I write something down wrong, there's about four options that it could be. Proverbs 28:5, thank you. Evil men understand not judgment. Boy, I like this. But they that seek the Lord understand all things. Now, I said this to someone this week, and good night, I've said this a bunch of times to people over the year, and have had it said to me, thank God. But you know what? There's some things that's going to happen on this earth that you'll never understand until you get to heaven. But I'll say this also. A lot of times, our lack of understanding doesn't have anything to do with the fact that God's trying to hide from us the reasons. It's just that He only gives a certain level of understanding to people who are willing to seek His face. And I want to say that again. Because what did that verse say? Evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand what? So maybe my first statement's not all that accurate. Maybe us walking around all the time saying, well, I'm just going to understand this. You know, you're not going to understand anything you have. Maybe our understanding or lack thereof is directly tied to our refusal to seek the face of God. I found out this more times than not. If I ask God why, He tells me. He's not as big a secret keeper as we like to, you know, the mysteries of God. If you ask Him, He's going to, more times than not, He'll tell you. Well, God, why did that happen? Well, come seek my face a while. I'll explain it to you. When we say, why did that happen, we don't want an answer. We're hurling an accusation. You come with the right spirit and say, Lord, I want to have understanding. Could you give me understanding, insight? Lord, what are you doing? Why are you doing it? What are you trying to do in my life? And you stay there. I mean, you sit down and stay there. I found out that more times than not, in the course of time, God's Spirit will say, son, this is why. This is why. So, the rewards. He's the reward. Rejoicing, strength, cleansing, prosperity, understanding. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we got to spend together. Lord, I pray, Lord, that these things will be an encouragement to all of us to spend more time seeking your face. Lord, I ask God that you'd help all of us, preacher, members, every single person on the sound of my voice, may we begin to hunger for your presence as never before. May we begin to seek you as never before. Lord, may we allow this relationship to do everything that it is supposed to do in our life. And thank you, God, for being such a generous Father. And Lord, for rewarding us for doing the things we ought to do anyway. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.